Let's open our Bibles this morning, first of all, to Mark chapter 10. Then we'll come over to Luke chapter 12, and then from chapter 12 of Luke to chapter 16 of Luke. We have several verses to read, but I want to put this together for you and just more of an explanation than it is necessarily a title, the composite of a wasted life. And sometimes this is a writer's method, and I'm not saying that the Lord had this in mind, but I felt like that it fit well together as we looked in, we'll look into these verses. Down in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, and we read on through verse 27, but just before we do, let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Appreciate it today. Thank you that your word is in our language so that we can read it. We can preach publicly in this land yet, and pray you'll bless the words of our Lord to our hearts. And when it's all said and done, that Jesus Christ be glorified. For I pray in his name. Amen. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith with men, It is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And I say praise the Lord for that glorious truth today. Now the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And we read on through verse 21. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 26, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would, pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And thus we have the three stories, and I want to put them together in a composite form, which means that we're taking out of the life of different individuals and putting it together so that we can see that there is a program, if followed, that ends in destruction. These three stories Jesus told by way of opportunity when it arose for him. One looks at a young man and his opportunities. Another looks at what seems to be a successful life. And then the third looks at eternal consequences. And these three do go together in that sense. Let's first of all take a look at the rich young ruler. This particular young man certainly approached the right person when he came to Jesus Christ. And he said, "What, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord said to him, "Why do you call me good? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. And if you'll be careful to read the text and notice that that young man never changed his opinion. He persisted in it. He just left it alone. He did not say, oh, I'm sorry I said it that way. This is what I meant. Apparently, this young man was more informed maybe than we think that he might have been as he approached Jesus Christ. But let's take a look at him for a moment. The young man and his opportunities. Apparently, he had inherited wealth. As a young person, he's not likely to have been able to accumulate and amass wealth like this young man had. By the way, whether you can tell it or not, I once was young. And making money just to accumulate wealth was not on my mind. I had more in thought, like a new shiny car or something of that nature, just like most of you did. But this young man apparently had inherited a measure of wealth. And he had this in his favor in that he showed an interest in spiritual things. Sad to say again, this is not necessarily the case today in so many cases. We had some reference to this in Sunday school. I'll just mention this. In case you didn't know this, there was a time whenever the Bible itself was taught in public schools. It's long since been abandoned now. And you can follow the parallel and find out our country's gone down ever since. And it'll continue to go down as long as you remove God's Word from the system of instruction. You need to know the Bible. I don't recall the author right off, but it's one of those things that grasped my mind as I read it and the statement was made. No education is complete without a thorough knowledge of the Word of God. And I believe that this morning with all of my heart, that that's true. But this young man at least had this in his favor. He showed an interest in spiritual things. And he just did demonstrate a concern for his soul. You know, it seems like today that folks are on the way to hell in a hurry to get there. They don't show much interest in their soul. They're always thinking in terms of the now and here. But there is the need of soul preparation. Oh, it needs to be advocated today. It needs to be preached. This rich young ruler came to the right source. If you have a genuine concern for your soul this morning, you need to come to Jesus Christ. For He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. He made inquiry, and he received an answer. I mean, a lot of things are an opportunity to this young ruler. Well, let's look at the opportunities that he had in his favor. He encountered Jesus Christ early in his life. And I want you to know that that's a privilege, folks. And that's a blessing. If you were exposed to Jesus Christ and you trusted Him early in life, you ought to be very grateful. Now, I'm not saying we ought not be grateful if the Lord saved us late in life. Because I was on down the road a ways. I was 27 years old when the Lord saved me. But I want you to know that it's a privilege and a benefit to be a Christian early in your life. One fellow said it like this. He said, I'm glad to hear the testimony of those who lived wicked and were saved. But he said, where's the testimony of that one who was saved early and their lives were not ruined? Why is it that we have to wait till our lives are decadent before we come to Jesus Christ and have any testimony at all? When we could give the greatest testimony of all, that the Lord saved me at an early age. He encountered Jesus Christ early in his life. Second thing is, he received an audience with Christ. He received an audience with Christ. He had the opportunity of asking a question. And again, he had the privilege of receiving an answer. And he received good, sound advice. Now, I want to go on with this story because he, like so many others, made a bad choice. or made bad choices, I could say. Well, he could have had eternal life. What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, you can't do anything, but I can give you eternal life. He said, you can keep the commandments. And the young man said, all this have I kept from my youth up. The Lord said, one thing you lack. And you can look at the law all the way through, and you'll always lack. But Jesus Christ can meet the need of your heart and soul and life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He could have had eternal life, made a bad choice. He could have had reward. He made a bad choice. He went away, as the Bible said, sorrowful, because he had great wealth. He just couldn't quite give up the wealth. The Lord said, if you'll sell all you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. He said, I'll see that you're rewarded abundantly. He made this choice to go away. He went away sadly, yet he went away. And then there's a final point here that you can kind of interject it wherever you want to in this young man's life. He also went away in the face of love. That's one of the reasons I use the account out of the Gospel of Mark. For the Lord tells us there that he loved this young man. Now, the other writers don't give us that particular thought, but Mark does. Can you imagine walking away from Jesus Christ in the face of the love that he had for you and for me? That's a bad choice. It's a wrong choice. The second man that we read of in Luke chapter 12 is seemingly a successful man. Well, let's look at the man. Let's evaluate it and see if he's successful. First thing is, he is successful in enterprise. I've often said this, and it's true. If a man can get rich farming, he's enterprising. It's not always the case. Truth of the matter is that it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible today, even for a young man to buy a farm, as he would have to buy it normally, with mostly debt, and pay for it in his lifetime. You'd really have to be a farmer. You'd have to be very enterprising. But this man was enterprising. His fields brought forth, and they brought forth abundantly. And he said, I've got a dilemma. I don't have anywhere to put my goods. I'll tear down these barns, and I'll build greater barns. And I'll bestow my goods. Well, he determined a plan, and he followed the plan. He succeeded with his plan. He laid all these goods up and then said to his soul, soul, you've got much goods laid up for many days. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's the man that we look into, but let's also look at the mistakes that he made. He thought of spiritual things in relation to the physical. He couldn't quite divide the two. And you think, oh, surely anybody could do that. Well, Nicodemus had some difficulty with it. When you read the account in the Gospel of John chapter 3, you'll find out that Nicodemus had issues with this. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He's speaking in terms of the physical. And he's thinking of spiritual things in relation to the physical. So this is not something that is unusual today, but he thought of spiritual things in relation to the physical. The second thing we see about him as far as a mistake being made is that he felt an unwarranted sense of security. Now, when we think in terms of security and securities, that means that there's something to back up what we've put our confidence in. Can I just be blunt this morning? And I will anyway, so as well give you a question. You know what keeps our dollar stable at all? It's just purely the confidence of the American people. There's not another thing behind it. Do you realize that we don't even really have a real major national growth product anymore? Much less a silver or gold certificate behind our money. And this man felt an unwarranted sense of security. He thought everything's all right, but he had nothing to base it on. I want you to know that you better base your security on somebody. And that person is Jesus Christ. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's some security in that, but you could have a sense of security in absolutely nothing except yourself. And you might be warmed in your heart and all of that sort of thing, but it's insecure because there's nothing behind it. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ backed his claims up with his blood. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. He forgot that there was a judgment. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I would not even dare to think of how many folks pillowed their head last night with all kinds of plans for today. And they're in eternity right now. This man, as he made the mistakes that he did, labored for that which he could not keep. He labored for that which he could not keep. Well, we've come through two of these particular figures in this composite of a wasted life. We come to the third, the end of a wasted life. We found the rich young ruler made some tragic mistakes, and the major one, he went away from Jesus Christ. The other man made the mistake of feeling secure in something he could not keep. Couldn't take it with him. It's been said ever since I was just a kid that you don't find any pockets in a shroud. And you never see the U-Haul behind the hearse. You can't take it with you. So we see these two that their lives were not where they ought to be, which leads us to the third, the end of a wasted life. And that puts the rich man in hell. Luke gives us the story. Now certainly he enjoyed many benefits in this life. Now I'm not telling you that wealth won't give you some earthly benefits, because it will. In other words, it can buy you some creature comfort for a moment. I mean, I'd be foolish to try to sell you on the idea that there was not some measure of benefit to material wealth. Because there is. There's some benefits to it. When I think in terms of how I grew up in rural America, as one fellow said, we're the poor people of poor people called poor people. But I think in terms of some, they had this benefit. They didn't have to park their old car on a hill because the battery wasn't any good and rolled it off down a hill trying to start it. I mean, there's some benefits. I want you to see that. In the immediate realm of wealth, he enjoyed many benefits in his life, this rich man did. But he forgot that death comes. And he came to a rude awakening. He came to a rude awakening. He died and was buried and in hell lifted up his eyes. And he cried out, but it was too late. We're talking about a wasted life. He asked, but it was to no avail. Do I believe that folks will cry out, that they will, in a sense, I suppose you could call it prayer, after they die? Sure. If this rich man cried out in hell, you can rest assured that every person that goes there is going to cry out. And ask for a measure of relief, because it's not a pleasant place to go to. But he cried, it was too late. He asked, but to no avail. And that leads me to the conclusion. Early life choices affect all of our life. I made some choices in life that have affected me ever since, just like you have. Wrong choices lead to eternal destruction. But thank God, today you can still come to Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front and prepare the invitation number. The rest I'll pray with. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you for the attentiveness of the folks as they have listened today. And I pray that you'll bless the word that we've given to every heart and life of each one. And Father, that if there is that person here today that does not know Jesus Christ, if they get nothing else, they'll get this. They can still come to Jesus Christ today. We're going to trust your will be done in each heart and life, for I pray again in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.